This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL. But real quick, the question of the day was, what is a hill that you're just always going to die on? Mm-hmm. You're just unwilling to leave. And I think we just got to keep that going all day because people got takes, baby. People got takes from the 713. I will not tip unless I'm sitting down in a restaurant.
Oh, man. I get it, but ever since COVID, I'm like, even on the pickup, you got to do a little, even just 10%.
It depends where you at, though, right?
Oh, not fast food. I'm talking about, like, you know, you pick up something, whatever, at a Mexican restaurant.
Wait, what's the difference between fast food and the pickup, takeout?
Well, fast
at a
food,
restaurant?
you're just going through the drive-through, whatever.
The same amount of cooking and bagging up that you are at a restaurant?
No, not really. I mean, it's a system. But what I'm saying is, at a restaurant, they're still going to make.
I feel like fast food deserve a tip a little more, right?
No, I don't do as much on fast food.
Occasionally, no love for the fast food.
I've got a lot of love for fast food, but when I pick up now, I always tip, even if it's, I guess just a habit now out of COVID.
So you're the person who's creating all these boxes where they got us tipping on various things.
That's me.
It's your fault?
Yeah, but I hate those. And they start at like
19%. Yeah, because apparently you can't say no.
Yeah.
Like, they start at 18%, and then it goes to like 30%. I'm like, how are you going to check 30%?
All right. Let's go around the NFL now where, hey, there's going to be a party. You love parties, right? Texas announced a couple things. First and foremost, they announced the draft party, which is presented by Modelo. That's going to be at the Plaza Avenida, Houston, on April 24th, which is, of course, the night of the first round of the draft. So that should be fun. And then on top of that, we have visual on the draft hats.
We do. That's right. They just dropped, didn't
they? Yeah. So did you get a chance to look at them? Like, obviously, they're one in a line of a lot of draft hats that, you know, they have a certain style that they take all the way across. It's in order to kind of describe it, it's I guess you actually have a different color hat than I'm looking at. But, you know, they'll have the actual cap one color and then the brim of the hat a different one. On the front panel of the hat, you have the H-Town logo. So it's not the Bull logo. It is the H with Texans across the top. Arced across the top, and underneath it says Houston, Texas. And then on the brim, it kind of has like almost like a like branches of sorts. Or what are those described as?
I don't know. I guess that would be. Is that? It's kind of like a. I don't know, it's a decoration of some sort. Olive leaf.
Yeah, olive leaf. There
it's
we
an
go.
Olive leaf.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I was struggling.
I think they're pretty clean, and I don't mean like clean as they're. I really love them. I do love them. but a clean, just the design is a clean design, clean, sharp design. With the and you talk about leaning in. They are leaning into H-Town. I love it.
Yeah, I did find it interesting that they went with that logo, but that's the template. It seems like all the teams have that same space. However, they're getting clowned on a little bit because they do kind of look like a veteran hat, especially with that little olive leaf flourish.
Mm-hmm.
Like it does look like they're trying to do something that's almost like pseudo military in the way they're going about it.
Yeah,
but yes,
and every NFL team has that little. It's almost like the wreath that they put back on Jesse Owens. You know when he it's the olive leaf wreath. Olive leaf wreath, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, are you getting one of these hats?
I would take one for sure. Yeah, I like them.
I'm sorry, I'm not doing a draft hat.
No, I'm not gonna draft a hat. You're not gonna do a draft hat at all? I think it's a.
If somebody
look.
Give you one, would you rock it?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like we really need a hat specifically for the NFL draft as well.
Which one is worse, the draft hats or the spring training hats?
Ooh, well, I feel like the spring training hats, they're gonna wear them a little bit more than a draft hat, which is just that one night. And shout out to the 832 who's like already bought both of them.
Yeah.
Already bought both colors. But you know what? I will acknowledge that I'm not a big hat guy. I don't do a lot of hats. So the idea of having all of these different hats and for different like events makes it so that I'm just like I'm not doing that.
The thing about these that I like. It doesn't really highlight the draft. It's more of a team hat for the draft.
Okay.
I think you would like this one. Like, it doesn't say 2025 NFL draft, because after the 2025 NFL draft, they're useless.
Yeah. Sure.
But these are more, I like these. I like these a lot, more than any I've seen lately. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Some other things that are happening around the NFL. Another pro day happened yesterday, and there was a lot of talk about this one, because it could have featured the potential largest NFL player of all time. Mm-hmm. The draft prospect, Desmond Watson, interior defensive lineman from Florida, weighs in at 464 pounds.
364.
No. 464 pounds. He could be the largest draft pick in NFL history. And Big Boy was doing all sorts of things. 6'6" frame. And there's not a guarantee that he'll be drafted. I know that there's, he's not necessarily like super highly regarded necessarily.
Yeah.
But they had him run the 40.
And he didn't really disappoint considering he weighs 464. He had a 25-inch vertical.
25-inch vertical.
Dude, at 464?
Somebody going to bring him in the camp. I don't know if he's going to get drafted, but somebody going to bring him in the camp.
I would. Yeah. Just go ahead and see.
Why not?
Yeah. Right, like. I saw someone talking about this, and they were talking about, hey, man, if y'all are out here trying to ban the tush push, which I'll talk about here in a second, this feels like a tush push stopper. Just go ahead and put a big old man in the middle. All right, you think you that strong? He moved 500.
I think, you know, if it passes, it hurts his draft status. If the banning of the tush push passes.
Interesting.
I think it hurts his draft status. Some NFC East team would bring him in the 7th round, you know?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Or, I mean, yeah, just to get the flyer on him or see if you can get him as a UDFA.
Mm-hmm.
To that end, Diana Russini of The Athletic said that nothing is set in stone, but the sense that she's getting from around the league is that there is momentum building around the idea of banning the tush push. It's growing, is what she says.
Man,
so,
that is sorry, man.
It's soft.
I hate it. It is soft. I think that's... And I said it from the very beginning, you know, it's not the coaches that are voting on this. It's the owners. And if the owners feel
some type of way about Philly.
I can't have it, so neither can you. That's what the owners are doing.
They don't want to see Desmond Watson succeed.
It's one thing a team doing it and they not that good.
Yeah.
But you got Philly, who just won the Super Bowl, doing it and unstoppable.
Yeah.
That's all it is,
If coaches were voting, I don't think it would pass. Owners voting, I think it'll pass.
That's which so stinks. Whack.
Yeah, stinks.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But yeah. I was just very intrigued by, and I kind of hate, I don't want it to just be a novelty, but there is novelty in like a dude who is 35 pounds away from being 500 pounds.
Yeah.
And he could end up in the National Football League. I mean, the big boy was moving. He obviously, you mentioned that he had the vertical.
Yeah.
He moved a lot of weight in lifting when it comes to the bench as expected. He was sub-6 with his 40-yard dash.
5'6'4", I think?
5'9'3".
5'9'3".
You were really giving him a lot of credit.
I was giving him way too much credit.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And supposedly, according to Billy Napier, his coach of Florida, which again, you know, your coach is going to speak glowingly.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's extremely intelligent, got a great sense of humor, great teammate, all those things, in addition to, like, dude, has an incredible stature. Somebody said bring him in so he could play versus the Ravens and they could stop bullying our defense.
Mm-hmm. There was a game this year when the Aggies played Florida where he was in the middle of the field and somebody missed an assignment and he was just standing there and I forget who the running back was. The Aggie running back ran right at him and then did one of those whoop straight to the right. Like, I ain't going there.
The road is closed. I need to find an alternate route.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Salute to Desmond Watson. I don't think way that the Texans in are on that, right?
Nah. Well, nah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Some other things around the NFL. So Brock Purdy is in this space where he's trying to, we're trying to figure out what he gets. Actually, before I go to the Brock Purdy, because I did tease this, I want to go to Shedeur Sanders, right? Mm-hmm. One of the newer quarterbacks in this particular draft. You know, his pops had been out here talking, as he is wont to do, and obviously as he has the platform to do.
Oh, word. He out here talking.
Colorado. That is, as the head coach of Colorado, there's a lot of instances. And then he has, like, the show that he has. There's just a lot of instances.
Deion Sanders out here talking.
That's right. It's very notable. But Deion Sanders was asked about Shedeur and whether he'd be comfortable with him playing in various places, including, like, the places that are at the very top of the draft. This is what he has to say now.
Shedeur has told me, he's talked to me intently about all the visits he's had with all the teams, so I know where his heart is. I know where he wants to go. If it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization. I know what he's going to do.
All right, so let's do a little impromptu. We usually do it on Thursday. Buying or selling? You buying what Deion is saying there? Now, first of all, he did say, I know where he wants to go, and then he says, I don't care.
I'm buying it. I'm buying it because I feel like he know his son can potentially fall way down in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, hey, we'll go to any one of these teams that want him, like, in the top round.
Yeah.
Now, if he was, like, the undisputed number one overall pick, then I think he'd probably be a little choosy.
Mm-hmm.
But nah, he like, man, I want to get I want my son to get drafted high as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right on there. I think they don't have nearly the same amount of leverage.
Yeah,
in that same situation, if they wanted to make some things happen, it did sound. He sounded kind of dad-like, like really.
I'm buying it too.
It was really sweet
because
he was
that.
Like, yeah, if it's where it is, I know his capabilities. He'll make it happen no matter what, and he seems to have a desire that, you know, you let him go. And
yeah, I'm buying it too. I think, and he also realizes maybe he's been, and this might not sound funny, but maybe he's been humbled a little bit. He kind of remembers, you know.
Oh, you just said you got a humble Deion. Uh-huh. You got to humble him.
Not a humble Deion. He's been humbled a little bit.
No, it sounds like it because remember all that talk of he ain't going to Cleveland and all this other stuff?
Remember he was saying back not even a year ago, oh, I know who the first two picks are going to be. You know, and all that. I think he realizes, the NFL is very, very particular.
It's still the NFL.
It's still
man.
The NFL.
Yeah.
So I think he's just, I do buy it.
And I think now we're in the part of the process where I imagine those things that he says affects the process. Whereas then I think, we're doing a little bit of marketing, a little bit of selling.
You see how petty these teams can be.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can take his words and be like, oh, you know what?
Yeah.
We're not drafting him or we're not looking at him. So that stuff means a lot now.
To that end, like I read a really interesting profile from Derek Klassen of The Athletic, kind of breaking down Shedeur Sanders and his outlook and some of the things that he had, like looking at the accuracy that he has, but some of the ways in which, throwing down the field, he also wasn't like pinpoint accurate. Mm-hmm. He was kind of just generally accurate where a larger percentage of the time his receivers had to kind of make some moves to get to the football. He basically ultimately comes to a place where Shedeur Sanders kind of has a good, not great profile, which is about what we were looking at. And I think the real interesting thing that he ultimately comes to is Shedeur Sanders, like, are we talking about more? He's in that tier below Cam Ward and he's further away from, is he further away from Cam Ward or from the next group of guys? Because I think that'll be kind of telling. Because the next group of guys is the likes of your guy, Jackson Dart, and some other folks like that. Will Howard, if you let him tell it, he's trying to be a quarterback one after his pro day or what have you. But those group of guys outside of there, like, where does he fall? Because he exists.
You're making me think here.
In a nebulous space in the middle where people are like, he can go third to the Giants or second to the Cleveland Browns or he can fall to like 21 or something.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it in those terms, and I think, and this is no slight because I think he's good. I think he's probably further away from Cam Ward than the next group. And the reason is what you're talking about with that piece that you referenced.
And it's a deep dive, so I'm only.
But the gist of this part of it is he's good at throwing to spaces, which is basically a college offense saying, you know, open it up, throw it here, the receiver should be there, that kind of thing, as opposed to, you know, over a linebacker in front of a safety.
But good under pressure, good throwing the football on the move, although, like, he doesn't necessarily do that on his own. You might have to scheme him to do those things. Like, there's clearly good things in here. You wouldn't be talking about him as a high first-round pick otherwise. But, yeah, I think those questions exist in a way. And I feel like Deion is trying to you know, neutralize some of this stuff. Somebody said Shador is a Bronny James, another bust, which I don't think is right. On either account, funny enough, it does seem like, hey, Bronny James is looking like he's a second-round NBA pick prospect where he's working it out in the G League as of right now.
Yeah.
But 409, they said, if Sanders falls, the whole green room attention will be the biggest since Brady Quinn. That's Chuck. I don't think he's going to the green room. I'm pretty sure that they're having
a separate party. I think them days are over now, man.
Yeah.
The death of the green room, man. Yeah. I think somebody like him is probably doing his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's Around the NFL on this Friday. Coming up next, CBS Sports ranked the top 20 quarterbacks of the last five draft classes. Where does our guy CJ Stroud rank? Let's talk about that next.